Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. Happy hump day to you all. It is Wednesday, December 12th. 2018, and you are locked into WKAR's current sports. As I like to say, I just want to thank you all for allowing us to be a part of your weekday afternoon. Yet again, we've got a sizzling hot current sports coming to you on this midweek Wednesday. On today's current sports, as promised, we will dive into the latest news concerning Jim Harbaugh. Now, many of you heard this development over the weekend, but Harbaugh basically came out and said that, no, I am not leaving for a position in the National Football League. I am staying as head coach of the University of Michigan football program, and we'll dive into whether or not that is the right move for Jimmy Boy. All right? You don't want to miss that. Also, just want to kind of vent to you all when it comes to athletes using social media. And Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. More so Twitter, I feel like,
I
right?
I don't give a rat's ass about Twitter.
I don't either. But a lot of people do. And you got to be careful what you tweet, okay? Because we have seen, and I feel like we're having some kind of big story about an athlete misusing Twitter at least once every single year. At least once. I feel like it happens like up to like 3 to 5 times. When it comes to a big-time athlete, you know, some tweets dug up in the past, and it's like, whoopsie, I forgot to delete that, or I forgot that was out there. I forgot I said that. And it happened over the weekend with Kyler Murray, who, of course, won the Heisman Trophy. Shout-out to Oklahoma, by the way. Back-to-back years in which its quarterback has won the Heisman Trophy. Of course, Baker Mayfield did it the year prior, too. But Kyler Murray, apparently, when he was 15 years old, he tweeted some things that weren't great. I don't know how else I can put it. All right, I'll give you the specifics if you did not hear about this story. And I'll sound off yet again on athletes misusing social media. Okay? On the back end of the show, we'll have a Detroit Pistons and Detroit Red Wings update. And I'm also seeing this, too, because, you know, I want to get this news out to you all before we bring on our quick hit headliners, because it's not a part of our quick hit headliners, because it just broke around like 12:30 or so, and I'm just now seeing it on my Twitter homepage. But, you know, the drama when it comes to Rod Allen and Mario Mpemba, you know, two Detroit Tigers, you know, broadcast partners who have been for years. And I think they've done a great job together. You know, whatever riff was happening behind the scenes, they certainly did not show it on the airwaves. At least I didn't notice it. But we all know the story that came out about Rod and Mario being in some kind of altercation. Some saying that it was a physical altercation. And it was kind of up in the air whether or not, you know, Rod or Mario would return to the broadcast booth. I don't think it was up in the air. Anytime you have a situation like this where you have two broadcasters going at it, you know, allegedly involved in a physical altercation, I mean, I don't know how those two could ever work together again unless they are incredibly forgiving people. But Mario Mpemba, on his Twitter page, speaking of Twitter, right, because that's how we make official statements today, Mario has announced that he will not be returning as the Detroit Tigers television play-by-play man on Fox Sports Detroit. I'll just read to you what Mario posted. Quote, "The last 3 months have been challenging for both myself and my family. I would like to thank the countless Tigers fans who have reached out to me to offer support. I would also like to thank my broadcasting colleagues who have provided both support and encouragement. It was always my intention to return to the Tigers booth in 2019, but that decision was out of my hands. As a native Detroiter, I grew up in this city and chose to raise my family here. I will always view Detroit as my home. I have spent 32 years building my professional reputation in broadcasting and stand by that reputation today. I truly appreciate the opportunity I had to broadcast for my hometown team the last 17 seasons. I look forward to what the new year may bring and to my next opportunity. Again, to those that have reached out, thank you for all of your support." So, of course, as you can imagine, this tweet is going viral on social media right now. I'm actually looking at the retweet numbers, and the like numbers just go up and up and up. Many people replying to Mario, thanking him for his time on the airwaves. Rod Allen, I don't think, and I can check his Twitter handle right now, but I don't believe that that Rob has put anything on his Twitter page, but I'm seeing this just go viral. It popped up on my home screen of my Twitter timeline, and wanted to pass that news along to you all. But I just don't know how a professional relationship, one that has, you know, been one of great professionalism over the years and great chemistry, I think, at least when listening to Mario and Rod over the years, I don't know how it can lead to an unfortunate situation like that we saw this past year. So wishing Mario the best, and we now proceed with your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start our headliners with this news that, you know, I saw circling, you know, many wires yesterday. The Alabama Crimson Tide college football program will have a new man heading the offense next season, as Nick Saban is expected to promote quarterbacks coach and associate head coach Dan Enos to offensive coordinator. Dan Enos previously coached at Michigan State in 1991 to 1993 as a grad assistant, and in 2006 to 2009 as a QB coach and running backs coach. Enos also served as CMU's head coach from 2010 to 2014. And I remember that run with CMU, and got a chance to chat with Dan Enos when he was the head coach at CMU after the Michigan State game. I believe that was like in 2013. So Dan Enos expected to, you know, hit the big leagues now, coaching as the offensive coordinator under Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide. That's pretty impressive right there. All right. Michigan State senior center Jenna Allen added to her honors after being named U.S. Basketball Writers Association and Myers-Drysdale Women's National Player of the Week yesterday. She also garnered, of course, ESPNW and Big Ten Player of the Week accolades on Monday. She is the second player to capture the honor this year. After UConn's Kristen Williams earned the season's first award, Allen averaged 21.5 points on 17 of 24 shooting, including a 5 of 8 performance from beyond the arc over the last two games last week against, of course, Oregon on Sunday and on Wednesday against Oakland. Now, for the season, Allen is averaging career highs across the board with 16.3 points, 7.3 rebounds per game. She is shooting a career best
58% from the field and a 500% from three-point range. So 50%, excuse me, from three-point range. So there you have that. I mean, it's just amazing what Jenna Allen did last week and the kind of season she is having. Just consistency. So congratulations to Jenna Allen again being named as the U.S. Basketball Writers Association and Myers Drysdale Women's National Player of the Week winner. All right. Also, some huge news for Drew Hughes. Now, that's a catchy newspaper headline, right? Redshirt sophomore Drew Hughes has been named Big Ten Conference Wrestler of the Week for December 11th, as announced by the league office. Hughes improved to 11-2 on the season and 2-0 in dual meets last Friday, earning a major decision over Indiana's Jake Hines, who was 11-0. To score the only bonus points of the duel, Michigan State defeated Indiana by a final tally of 16-15, with Hughes' major decision being the eventual difference. So Hughes is Michigan State's first Big Ten Wrestler of the Week since November 7th of last season when Javier Gasca was honored. This is the second time Hughes has won the award, with the last time being on December 20th of 2 years ago after he placed first at the Reno Tournament of Champions as a true freshman. Also, the Penn Quakers shocked the college basketball world with an upset over the defending champ, number 17, Villanova, 78-75, the final last night in its first true road game, which was hardly a road game at all, considering it was across town at the Palestra. The reigning national champions fell 78-75. They trailed for 36 minutes and 20 seconds of the game, during which it appeared Penn, not Villanova, looked like it was a defending title holder. Here we go.
Will Penn foul and not give Villanova a chance to shoot a three?
I wouldn't foul here because they have to shoot it, so they're going to be in the act.
Booth from the corner.
All right, pretty impressive stuff from Penn knocking off Villanova. This has been already a very interesting college basketball year. All right, the Detroit Red Wings just got completely blown out last night. For more, we go behind the glass. Engineer Alec Rio, what happened?
All right, so the Detroit Red Wings found themselves on the short end of the stick.
Shazam!
As they were blown out by last season's Stanley Cup winners, the Washington Capitals, 6-2. Alexander Ovechkin pleased his fantasy owners by notching a hat trick against Detroit, against Jonathan Bernier, who had to get pulled after giving up 5 goals. He's been struggling all season. This is nothing new. Gustav Nyquist and Dylan Larkin both got goals in losing fashion. And so now the Red Wings are now 14-14-4 and remain 10th in the Eastern Conference.
And we'll have more on the Wings later on this hour. And Alec, you are really having fun with those buttons behind the glass, aren't you?
I love them.
Shazam. You sound like a comedian when you were reading that, man. So, yeah, there you have that. But the Wings, yeah, 14-14-4, 10th in the East. And also the Detroit Pistons will travel to Charlotte to take on the Hornets in Buzz City. Both teams are hovering around the 500 mark and look to improve their standing in the NBA's Eastern Conference, with the Pistons trying to end a 5-game skid. Tip time at 7. You can catch that one, of course, on Fox Sports Detroit. Also, with a 111-86 victory over the Phoenix Suns, San Antonio Spurs head coach Greg Popovich secured the 1,211th win of his career, putting him at number 4 in career wins, passing legendary New York Knicks and, of course, Miami Heat head coach Pat Riley. Pop also reached the 1,200 victory mark faster than any coach in NBA history at 1,743 games. He also holds the second-best win percentage of all time in 4 major sports at a 68% clip. Pretty impressive stuff. Salute to one of the greatest, not just basketball coaches of all time, but best professional sports coaches that we've ever seen in this nation. All right, John Jones has gotten the green light to head back to the cage. The former UFC lightweight heavyweight champion was granted a temporary license by the California State Athletic Commission yesterday, which means his fight with Alexander Gustafsson, is going forward. Jones and Gustafsson are set to fight at UFC 232 on December 29th out on the West Coast in Las Vegas. The license is only temporary until Jones meets his community service condition. According to MMAfighting.com, Jones must submit a community service plan to the commission, and then his license will be fully reinstated. His license was originally revoked at a commission hearing in February, and he was fined $205,000. He hasn't fought since July of last year when he defeated Daniel Cormier to capture the UFC lightweight heavyweight championship. Now, less than a month after that fight, the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency found that a urine sample collected prior to the fight had tested positive for an anabolic steroid. The commission overturned the fight to a no-contest result, and UFC president Dana White stripped Jones of his title. Yeah, I remember that fight against Daniel Cormier quite well. A lot of controversy after it was found that Jones had that steroid in his system. But Jones has always had trouble with, you know, just juicing, using illegal substances. Heck, I remember one time he got suspended for using a male enhancement drug. How in the world does that help you in the cage? So, John Jones, just get focused, dude. We want to see you back in the cage, all right? Okay, that wraps up your current sports quick hits headliners. Multiple ways in which you can be a part of the hour. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. We have the live stream up and running there. And you can tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. A fun show coming your way. Again, speaking of Twitter, we will be diving into the negligence that some athletes operate with concerning Twitter. One that has Kyler Murray in some hot water after winning the Heisman Trophy on Saturday night in New York City. Also, we'll talk, I just kind of give an update on where we believe the Detroit Pistons and the Detroit Red Wings rank in the league right now, and kind of look into the crystal ball in the next few weeks here of where these two teams could be in their respective conferences. But right now, we want to dive into Jim Harbaugh saying that, hey, I'm staying at Michigan. All those NFL rumors, you can put those to bed. So for further dialogue on that, here we go.
This time, and he finds his man, Olave, touchdown Buckeyes.
But he can't do it as he's trying to work through everything that's in front of him, and it's a foot race. Buckeyes win it.
Haskins to the corner. Haskins, touchdown again. Chris Olave with his second career touchdown. Haskins sprinting out. Sets up deep over the middle. Touchdown! Buckeyes, Johnny Nixon. Three passing touchdowns for Dwayne Haskins.
Recognizing that Michigan blows the coverage. You got three Wolverines with their eyes in the backfield. They don't put their eyes on Dixon. He's wide open.
All right, and that is how we start our discussion portion of today's current sports. Happy Wednesday to you all. It is December 12th, 2018. Happy holidays. And you just heard, if you're a Michigan fan, I know you're not too happy about that intro, right? You just heard Gus Johnson on the call of that Ohio State drubbing over Michigan on November 24th, 62-39, the final. As many people thought it was going to be a much closer game than that, and I don't think anybody saw Ohio State's offense throwing up that many points, 60-plus points over that top-ranked Michigan Wolverines defense. And, of course, that ended any chance of Michigan going to Indy to compete for a conference championship. That was it. That was the game. That was for the representative of the Big Ten East. And Ohio State pulled it out. Of course, Ohio State went on to win the Big Ten Conference over Northwestern. However, of course, there is no Big Ten representative in the college football playoff for yet another year. That's another discussion for another time. But right now, we're focusing on the Michigan Wolverines and Jim Harbaugh. Because, and I feel like this has happened now for at least the past, 2 to 3 years. The discussion of, Jim Harbaugh deciding to, is he going to stay or is he going to go to the NFL? There are a lot of sexy jobs open to the NFL. I know Jim Harbaugh, eventually he wants to go back there, right? And make another run at the Super Bowl championship. He's not having, don't get me wrong. When people say that Jim Harbaugh isn't having success at Michigan, I think that's wrong. And also, I think, as I always like to say, it depends on how you measure success. Jim Harbaugh has helped turn around the Michigan Wolverines and put them on some kind of positive track after the Brady Hoke era, because this was a program that was certainly completely dead in the water, going nowhere. So Jim Harbaugh got them back on track to where they were at least winning, anywhere from 8 to 10 games. But that's not good enough in Ann Arbor. This is the Michigan Wolverines college football program. That's not enough. If 10 wins doesn't get you to the college football playoff, it is all for naught. At least a trip to Indy for the for the Big Ten championship game. And that hasn't happened. Jim Harbaugh still cannot even get to the conference championship game. Heck, he still can't even represent the Big Ten East. So when it comes to this whole debate about Jim Harbaugh staying or leaving, at least this year, first off, I say, why would you go? Okay? I want to make this point first. Because right now, Jim Harbaugh, I just mentioned all of the non-success he's had within the Big Ten Conference. He is making $7.5 million a year right now. He made $7.5 million this season. Only Nick Saban at $8.3 million and Urban Meyer at $7.6 million make more. There's only two coaches in this nation that make more than Jim Harbaugh. Urban Meyer has won a national championship at the college football level and has dominated the Big Ten in recent years. Nick Saban, we all know his track record speaks for itself. Many believe, like myself, that Nick Saban is going to go down as the greatest college football coach of all time. And then you have Jim Harbaugh sitting at third amongst that kind of company. He's stealing money. We all know this. And, oh yeah, by the way, that doesn't include the $2 million in premiums for that creative life insurance policy. So it's actually a little more than $7.5 million. And again, this is a guy who has not won a Big Ten championship, even a division title. His Wolverines have finished third, fourth, and second in the Big Ten East. And now, as you just heard in those highlights, Jim Harbaugh is 0-4 against OSU. So putting those numbers in perspective, as far as Jim Harbaugh's pay and that rank amongst the elite in the sport of college football, why would you leave a program that is paying you that much, despite the fact that you have tremendously underachieved when it comes to the Michigan football brand? Why would you go? It makes no sense. From a logical standpoint, that makes no sense whatsoever. And now you add into the fact that Urban Meyer has left the conference. It's wide open now for you, and next year is the key year. I feel like I was, you know, I'm a broken record in saying that right now, because I certainly said that before this past year. You know, Jim Harbaugh, you finally got to beat the big dogs. You got to beat your rivals, like Michigan State and Ohio State. Michigan State, check mark, but against Ohio State, you didn't get the job done. But now that Urban Meyer is gone, he has no more excuses. 0-4 against Ohio State. I also asked this question, though, as well. I mean, Urban Meyer's gone now. He is going to retire, at least for next season. I think he'll be back on some kind of college football sideline within the next 3 years. You heard our debate here on Current Sports when that news broke not too long ago. But I also asked this question as well. I mean, what do you get out of beating Ryan Day, who is taking over now as the head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes? What do you get out of beating Ryan Day? I feel like that, you know, the ship has sailed now for you to truly prove yourself as the head coach of Michigan football. You know, you had an opportunity to win over Urban Meyer, and now Urban's gone. Again, two ways you can look at it. You know, okay, now Ryan Day's in. Okay, if you do beat Ohio State, it's expected. You should beat them. I'm not trying to, you know, bash Ryan Day here, but Ryan Day is not Urban Meyer. And if you do beat Ryan Day and the Ohio State Buckeyes come next season, does that wash away the fact that you didn't beat Urban? No, it doesn't. People are still going to bring up the fact that, oh, man, you couldn't get the job done when Urban was there. Cool. Ryan Day, great. But you couldn't get it done when Urban was there. And this is another question that I have as well. I mean, you know, whether or not Harbaugh should go. Now, I think that Harbaugh's making the right decision here. It's wide open for you. You got one more shot at this thing, I believe. If you don't get the job done next year, then yeah, maybe you want to ponder going to the National Football League. I think if you don't get a job done next year, it's like, okay, Harbaugh, you're never going to get it done. And I question whether or not next year's Michigan football program will be better than the program that we saw this past season. I mean, because let's be real, this Michigan defense was amazing. And that's why, you know, like minds explode when you look at that final score against Ohio State. 62 points against that Michigan defense. That Michigan defense was fabulous all season. Top five, top three, top in many categories. And that offense at times looked questionable. And, you know, looking at next season, you lose Rashawn Gary. This was at one time the number, you know, one player in the country 3 years ago. He's gone. He's going to the NFL. Again, that defense, which we thought was the best in the country, gave up 60-plus points. So there's still problems when it comes to winning the big games with this program. I believe there's still offensive issues as well. Now, sure. You know, and we still don't know, by the way, what Shea Patterson is going to do. You know, he came out after the team banquet, which I believe was this past weekend, and we brought that story to you 2 days ago on Monday's Current Sports. But Shea Patterson is pondering whether or not he should leave right now to go to the National Football League or stay and finish out at least one more year under Jim Harbaugh in the Michigan football program. So we still don't know. If Shea leaves the program, oh, my goodness, now you're back in this same conundrum that you were the past 3 years as head coach of this program, not having a solid quarterback prospect. Question mark at the quarterback position. Shea Patterson at least gives you some kind of consistency. But even with Shea Patterson, who had a pretty solid year this season, there were still offensive issues. There were still offensive play calling issues. There were still inconsistency. This offense looked dead in the water at times. So I don't know if Michigan will be better next year, but the excuses have to run out. And it's the thing, if you were to go to the NFL has a shorter leash. There is a shorter leash on how long you are given to be successful than right now in Ann Arbor. If Harbaugh underperformed the way he has at Michigan in the NFL, you think he would still have that same job with that franchise? I mean, come on now. The shelf life is much shorter in the National Football League. and you are getting paid $7.5 million this year. And it's amazing to me when I talk to Michigan fans about Jim Harbaugh, it's amazing how delusional many of them still are. How many still believe that Jim Harbaugh is somehow, some way going to lead you to the promised land. You know, it's been 4 years now. The excuses have run out. But if I'm Jim, again, speaking from the perspective of Jim Harbaugh, why would I leave if the fans, the majority of fans out there, still believe in me? I'm getting paid $7.5 million. Oh, yeah. Also with that $2 million insurance policy on top, I'm living a good life. I can underachieve and still make that amount of money? NFL, sorry. You can't guarantee that. And you look at some of the salaries in the National Football League, you know, coming into this NFL season. I mean, Jim Harbaugh gets paid $7.5 million. To put that in perspective, I'll just look at some of the salaries around the NFL right now. Jason Garrett of my Dallas Cowboys, he gets paid an annual salary of $6 million per year. Mike McCarthy, who just got cut by the Green Bay Packers, and that's why also Jim Harbaugh's name has been floated around. Oh, would Jim Harbaugh go and coach the Green Bay Packers? I think there's some appeal in that. It's the Green Bay Packers, one of the premier franchises in the National Football League. And also, you know, you being dubbed as a quarterback guru, the opportunity to work with one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever do it in Aaron Rodgers, that may be appealing. Mike McCarthy, though, only got paid $6 million per year. So you're still getting paid more than the head coaching job for the Green Bay Packers. How about your brother, John Harbaugh of the Baltimore Ravens? He still gets paid more than his brother right now. John Harbaugh is getting paid $7 million this season. I mean, you know, those are three franchises, three quarterbacks of franchises, pretty big franchises in the NFL that Jim Harbaugh is getting paid more than when it comes to the head coaching position. Mike Tomlin of the Pittsburgh Steelers, $7 million. Andy Reid of the Kansas City Chiefs, $7.5 million. So finally we're seeing some kind of equilibrium here where, you know, Jim Harbaugh is at least getting paid, you know, the same amount of a head coach in the National Football League and Andy Reid. But still, that again, the $2 million insurance policy, that's still $2 million over that $7.5 million. Ron Rivera of the Carolina Panthers, $6.5 million to $7.75 million. Sean Payton of the New Orleans Saints, then we start talking about, you know, more money than $7.5 million at least. $9 million is what Sean Payton of the Saints is getting paid. Pete Carroll of the Seattle Seahawks, at least $9 million for him. And then you have John Gruden of the Oakland Raiders, that mind-boggling contract of $10 million per year, a 10-year, $100 million deal. Man, I would like to know who in the world is John Gruden's agent, right? But it's remarkable, you know, how much Jim is getting paid and the success or expectation still has not been met. So if I'm Jim, you stay. There's no reason to test the waters, at least right now. This is the right move, and I totally get it. Ward Manuel still has all the chips in on you. The fan base still loves you. The majority of the fan base still loves you. And, you know, the situation is pretty comfy for you right now. You are comfortable at Michigan right now, barring a year next season where you don't make it to Indy. Because I feel like if he underachieves next season, that will be the year that gets people to talk, which is remarkable. Can you imagine if Jim Harbaugh was like the head coach, you know, of like the New York Giants or New York Jets? You know, fans are cutthroat in New York. Finito. And they keep it real out there in New York. And if he was the head coach out there, I mean, fans would bash him. It's amazing to me just to how kind Michigan fans have been to Jim Harbaugh, despite his record. Okay, that's my thoughts. Alec Rio behind the glass. Connor Mathis is live in studio with us. I'll start with Connor. Is this the right move when it comes to Jim Harbaugh staying, at least for now?
I think for now you're going to see Jim is going to stay. I think he should consider that Packers job, though, because, I mean, he was in his NFL career has been the worst he ever did in the NFL was 8-8. He went to the Super Bowl He's gone to NFC championships with Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick, who were, you know, by most extensions, middle of the row kind of quarterbacks, not elite.
He's the guy that just like discovered Colin, right? I mean, yeah, he benched Alex Smith for Colin Kaepernick, yeah. And Colin leads him to the Super Bowl, exactly. Against his brother.
No, I mean, he has the NFL track record, and he's a competitor. I don't see him like completely, like a lot of people keep telling me, oh, you know he's at Michigan. He's a Michigan alum, Michigan fan. He's a competitor. He wants to stay at Michigan and turn the ship around. I'm like, you don't go as a college NFL coach. You don't go there, go to the Super Bowl, go to the next two NFC championship games, and then just say, nah, I'm good for the rest of my career. I think he's going to end up going back. But I don't think it's going to be until Michigan either A, wins the Big Ten, B, makes a playoff, or wins a Rose Bowl. He needs to win something major, and then I think he'll feel like he can leave. That being said, though, Green Bay's job looks really, really good. So I think he'll at least
why do you think – what's the appeal to go to Green Bay at least?
Is it Aaron Rodgers.
The opportunity to coach,
oh, yeah.
Aaron Rodgers,
oh, yeah.
Is it's a pretty sexy job. I'm not even going to hold you up because, you know, Aaron Rodgers is not every day you get an opportunity to coach a quarterback of that kind of caliber. Mm-hmm. But I look at the pieces around Aaron Rodgers, though, and Connor, he has nobody over there. But you know, they are going to have to make some serious mm-hmm. moves in the offseason in order to give, you know, Aaron a chance mm-hmm. next year. But when you're Aaron Rodgers, you always have a chance, right, I think. Yeah.
The other thing, too, is, though, look what he did with the 49ers. He had best players on that team were Alex Smith, Frank Gore, and Patrick Willis. I mean, and they were like, it was like them and then few and far between. And he was able to turn that around like that. Mm-hmm. I mean,
right.
I think when you have Aaron Rodgers, your room for error is greater everywhere else. So he can kind of build out. And you saw that in San Francisco. He's able to build out San Francisco to make them a consistent title contender until that 8-8 year, and then he got into a spat with the owner, and it fell apart. With Michigan, same thing. He started out with something really, really small. I mean, in his first year, 2015, he almost beats Mark D'Antonio at peak Mark D'Antonio.
I hear you.
And he's built a roster around that. He's kind of been able to make do. And again, he's not hitting the high expectation of, yeah, we need to be in a Big Ten championship game. Yeah, we need to be in the playoff. He's not hitting that expectation, but he's built a team. So that's why I say Green Bay is such a good-looking job, because you already have that franchise centerpiece that to some extent has proven that he can kind of hold over and cover some holes for his team while he builds around it.
Yeah, I hear you. But you know what?
I don't think he's going to leave, though.
Now some news broke. So you agree this is the right move.
It's the right move for him.
That Jim Harbaugh staying is the right mm-hmm. move for now.
For now.
I just say for now.
Yep.
As of right now, this is the right move. Mm-hmm. Some news broke this morning that if Jim was going to leave, this may push him to do so. I'll bring that story to you on the other side of this break. When we come back, I'll bring that story to you. We'll also talk about athletes and social media. That and more. You are listening to the Wednesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports.
Hey, was.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We've been diving into this old Jim Harbaugh saying, I'm back, I'm not leaving, I'm not going to the National Football League. You heard my thoughts in segment one on that topic. And, you know, before we hit that first break, Connor, I kind of teased that, okay, if there is any component to this conversation that is going to maybe push Jim Harbaugh to give the NFL a serious look, it's the fact that I did see a story this morning that Michigan's Don Brown, who is the, you know, the guru, defensive guru, who led that Michigan defense to, you know, the tippy top of the college football world. Don Brown did interview for the head coaching job at Temple. So, you know, I look at this and now the big debate that we're seeing is if Temple does offer Don the job, will he seriously consider it? Well, he's seriously considering, obviously, if he interviewed for it, would he leave? And Don Brown is an incredible defensive mind. He's really been, you know, the glue, I think, for this Michigan football program. Don Brown knows how to coach defense, and that's evident in the numbers, without a doubt. It's more so been throughout Jim Harbaugh's tenure in Ann Arbor, it has been the offensive woes that have doomed this team, which is kind of ironic that it was the defense that doomed this team against Ohio State, right? The offense put up some points, but my goodness, that defense gave up 60-plus points. For Don Brown, would you leave? You know, now that's the big debate. You're 63 years old. I think that with this trend in football right now of, okay, we want to see who the next young, hot coach is, you know, we're seeing that happen a lot in the world of college football. When you look at Don Brown, knowing that's a trend now and knowing that you're 63 years old, knowing that if you do go to Temple, the expectations aren't going to be through the roof like they are in Michigan, where you're expected to have a top-ranked team and to go to a college football playoff. I mean, heck, if you just win, you know, at Temple, you know, just get me to a bowl game, and that's a success, right? If you're Don Brown, you're 63 years old, you're not getting any younger, I think if they did offer him the job, take it. And maybe does that push Jim Harbaugh over the edge and say, all right, well, my defensive guru's leaving. Let's see what the NFL is talking about. I don't know.
If you're in Don Brown's position, absolutely take that Temple job, because what's the worst thing that happened? You don't have the success. You're going to get another job at defensive coordinator. They're not just going to ignore you. I mean, even if you fail as a head coach, there have been countless examples of head coaches going on or coaches going on, not doing well at a head coaching position, falling back a couple years later and find themselves in a pretty cushy coordinator deal. If you're Jim Harbaugh in that scenario, then I would start again, because he has that Green Bay interest. Then I'd look more seriously into that. But I still think he'd stick around unless Green Bay blew him away. We're talking like matching his salary, maybe a little bit more, complete roster control, things
right,
like that.
Right.
Then
I agree. Yeah.
I think that'd be the ideal situation. If an NFL team that has a, you know, Aaron Rodgers, top five, top three quarterback, then gives him complete control of the roster and gives him that money. I mean, you have your past success in the NFL too. I would take it.
And the thing about Don is, though, I mean, Temple is going to have to pay him more than the $1.4 million annually that he's getting paid. Don Brown is getting paid at Michigan as well. I mean, Brown is in the, you know, he's just finishing up, I should say, the second of a five-year contract that he signed with Michigan back in December of 2 years ago, in 2016. Again, an annual salary of $1.4 million. If they really want Don Brown, you're going to have to pay him somewhere close to $2 million. So we'll see what happens. And also other names that are in the mix for that job, Miami's defensive coordinator Manny Diaz, also Temple interim head coach Ed Foley. So I think Don may have an edge on both of those names, at least right now. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But as of right now, again, this is the right move for Jim Harbaugh. If Don does leave, I'm curious if I'm sure Jim probably won't say this, but I'm sure it probably does go through his mind at one point. Let me just see what the NFL was talking about. Maybe let me think about it at least. You know what I mean? He won't say that to us, though. I'm sure.
So, if I'm just saying, if the Green Bay Packers say, "Hey Jim, we want you in for an interview," he had better take that.
Because you think he should?
That is again Aaron Rodgers. That is a once in a lifetime interview, once in a lifetime offer.
It is
at least interview. You can reject it, but go into the interview.
At least go into the interview. Okay, all right. Let's go to line one right now. We have a notorious U of M and Jim Harbaugh hater on the line. Ray from Indiana. Ray, what's up, my man?
One more year, Jimmy, and you're all done in Michigan.
You think one more year?
You saying you got big things ahead? Yeah, your big things are going to get fired. You're out the door. You're going to be 0-5 against Ohio State after next year. Hey, let's go on to Billy. Billy put Frankenstein at safety the other day. Do you see that?
You talking about Bill Belichick?
Yeah, he put Frankenstein at
Rob Gronkowski for the Miami Miracle.
You see that beautiful tackle?
I did. You know, there are so many social media jokes that are coming out of Rob Gronkowski's horrible effort on that play.
Why didn't they put Tommy back there? He could slip and fall. He did it twice.
Yeah, no, I don't think you want
Tommy back there. Why didn't you put Tommy Brady back there?
No. You don't want your franchise quarterback
in. Genius. He couldn't carry Vince Lombardi's jockstrap.
Come on, Ray. This is Bill Belichick.
I mean, Do you know what what Vince Lombardi's Packer record was?
I know. It's incredible.
He lost the first playoff game, and he won 9 straight world championships.
I know. It's incredible.
Bill Belichick can't touch a candle with him.
But you can't tell me Bill Belichick is not in that conversation, right? I mean, he's certainly in that conversation.
He's not even close.
We could go back and forth on that all day. Right? Bill Belichick is one of the greatest football minds we've ever seen. But I hear you. I hear what you're saying. I know you really enjoyed you being, not a fan of the New England Patriots. Not many being fans of the New England Patriots organization and Tom Brady being a former U of M quarterback. I know, Ray, you do not like seeing the Patriots win. So I know you soaked up that all Sunday night, I'm sure.
I did. I missed the whole game because I was at church. We were bowling and stuff.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
It felt so good when I got home and I seen that trip. I thought of Tommy Brady, how they try to throw passes to him twice. He dropped one, and then he trips over his own feet and hurts himself. They should have put Tommy Brady back there. That would have been even funnier.
Real quick, before we get you out of here, Ray.
Buddy, you take your top safety out for a pass that can no way be thrown 75 yards.
Right.
The guy should have never been on the field, and I'm so happy it happened to Billy and Jimmy,
right.
Tommy. Tommy was laughing before they got the field goal. You know what Tommy Brady did? He put up 2 field goals in the second half. He's not nearly the player he was last year. People say, oh, he's not washed up. He's going to go to 45. He's slipping. He's slipping right now, my friend.
I tell you what, his numbers haven't been off the charts, Ray, but still, I mean, Tom Brady is Tom Brady. You know, watch when the playoffs hit, he's going to show some magic.
What's his record? 23 touchdowns, 8 interceptions.
Yeah, it's the regular season, though, Ray. The Patriots are still a top 5 NFL team right now, and I think they have a good shot at winning yet another Super Bowl.
Where's their defense?
I hear you. I hear what you're saying. I mean, the Dolphins threw up 34 on them. I hear you, Ray. But all I'm saying is this is still the new – talk to me. When the Patriots don't make it to a Super Bowl this year, then I'll believe you. But right now, this Patriots team, when we've underestimated them in the past, and they have gone on to prove many people wrong, including myself.
Let's go on to Jimmy, okay?
Yeah.
Jimmy said he's got big plans. He's got big plans, all right. He's 0-4, the worst in Michigan football history. One more loss, Jimmy, against the hated Buckeyes, and you're all done. Nobody's going to survive 0-5.
I agree. Well, that's what we've been debating about here on the show. I think that if he does not get the job next year, Ray, I don't know how you don't hear serious rumblings about Jim Harbaugh getting fired. I don't see that.
Recruiting's a week away, okay?
Yeah.
Who would you rather go with, Jim Harbaugh's team or a guy named Dave that just put 62 points and showed you how to beat him?
Well, that's an obvious answer.
They had a quarterback. You guys didn't have a quarterback. I told you how to beat him. You had to try those slant plays around the middle and then use your running backs out of the backfield. If that kid from Ohio State, I'm praying to God he comes back. If he comes back next year, they will not beat the Buckeyes. They will not beat them.
I hear you. I don't think Dwayne Haskins is coming back.
What about Bush? What's he going to do? What's that linebacker for Michigan going to do, Bush?
Devin Bush. I don't think he's made an announcement on anything either. So we're playing a waiting game. Also with Shea Patterson. We don't know if Shea Patterson is going to be back next year. So there's a lot of question marks, Ray. We'll see.
Is Bush injured, or is he going to be able to play in that bowl game?
I don't know. I don't think it matters. The bowl game doesn't matter. It doesn't matter one bit.
Florida,
the Peach Bowl.
Florida's 0-3 against them. But I'm hoping for a miracle before the Gators stop them. All right,
we'll see. Ray, thank you.
I got a Christmas card coming for you.
Oh, you are the best. Ray, every year.
For those that don't know. Look for Friday or Saturday in the mail.
Okay. My man Ray from Indiana.
Buddy. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas. Gotta love Ray. Ray is just one of my favorite guys in the world. Every year, I don't know if you notice, Alec, but every year I get a Christmas card from Ray in my WKAR mailbox, and it warms my heart. It is one of the most kind gestures that I get since I've been here at KAR that I get on an annual basis. He's fiery on the air, but he's got a heart of a teddy bear. Okay, and that rhymed. But then on the T-shirt, Alec, that was fantastic. But Ray's great, isn't he? I tell you. All right, it's our final break. When we come back, I will put a bow on this Wednesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports by just briefly touching on athletes and their stupidity on Twitter and other social media sites. All right? That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We have under 10 minutes left. I want to go to line two right now. Mike from Saginaw wants to talk some sports. Mike, what's up?
What's up, man? Before I ask you the question, is the bowl game Michigan State going to, is that the Red Box? Is that those Red Boxes you can order movies out of?
Yep, that's the one and only Red Box, Mike. I didn't even know those things still existed until the bowl game was announced for Michigan State. I think that Netflix and, you know, Amazon Prime and all these other streaming devices have really taken over. I don't know how Redbox is surviving still. It's amazing.
Okay. Okay, then, here's my question. Here's my fourth question. What I want to ask you about is Notre Dame football. And Notre Dame football is just like everybody else. Remember Brian Kelly that was threatening that he had one more year left before they, if he did the same thing he did the year after that, he was going to get fired.
Mm-hmm.
What about, would you be an athletic, your athletic director, would you be patient with Mark D'Antonio? Even though they go to bowl games every year, would you just wait this out? Because some teams do have good years and some teams have bad years.
As far as what? As far as if I'm Bill Beekman and I'm looking at Mark D'Antonio and him, you know, maybe underperforming 2 years ago with the 3-9 year, and then this year when there were great expectations and they don't get to the Big Ten championship game or even compete for the Big Ten championship, are you asking me if I'm Bill Beekman, the athletic director, would I consider going another direction and firing Mark D'Antonio?
No. I'm just thinking about sometimes, you know, how the Twitter and they blame social media for them firing coaches now. But I'm just looking at how Lovie Smith even got him an extension. You know, they kind of support him on what he's doing at Illinois. Do you think, even though Mark D'Antonio is not, he's having off years sometimes, that they would stay with the coach, or it's all personality? That's what I'm coming
down. First of all, I think that history and your track record, that's what dictates what kind of a leash you have. And mm-hmm. when you look at Mark D'Antonio, I mean, I always go back to the Rose Bowl year as well, because, you know, if you remember the Rose Bowl year when Michigan State played Stanford, that was the mm-hmm. year just prior to the college football playoff system coming into play. And if they had the college football playoff that year, Michigan State would have been in the college football playoff that year as well. They've already done it, of course, the Molly Whopping at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas, and that loss to Alabama. But Michigan State is one of the few Big Ten teams that went to the college football playoff. Mark D'Antonio has won, you know, multiple Big Ten championships. They've been in the running competing for a conference championship many, many years. Mark D'Antonio has an incredible track record against, you know, the rival down the road in Ann Arbor. So I get it. I know that fans had big expectations this season, especially when you go to a double-digit win year last season, playing the Holiday Bowl. You beat Washington State, and they underperformed this year. And then the whole quarterback situation and Dave Warner, right? That's been an ongoing conversation. Dave Warner at offensive coordinator. We covered that all this year.
Mm-hmm.
But Mark D'Antonio, he isn't the problem as far as him being the head coach. It's the mm-hmm. assistant coaching, if you ask me. It is Dave Warner. And I've been open and honest about that here on the show. So would I consider letting go of Mark D'Antonio? No. Mark is the right guy for the job. There's a bigger conversation that needs to be had as to why Michigan State underperformed this year. Now, when it comes to, I'm not letting Coach D off the hook, though. You know, he certainly mishandled this whole quarterback situation as well. But to go as far as to say, yeah, we got to fire Mark D'Antonio, I think that's totally ludicrous, and it is way far too reactionary. Way too reactionary for anybody thinking about that. That's the wrong take.
All right. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you, man.
All right. You too, Mike. Appreciate that. All right. 3 minutes left here in the show, Alec, I really wanted to dedicate more time to this, which we will do tomorrow. I don't know if you have any thoughts on Twitter. And we kind of talked about it yesterday, right?
Yeah, we did. And it's honestly, it's just so avoidable. Like, if people do have controversial tweets in their past, then they should know that they have done it in the past, or at least just look it up, because there's a way you can do that. It's if you type in your at, like on the search bar, and type in any kind of word that you would deem offensive. And if you find a tweet that has that, you can erase it. But I mean, people shouldn't have made those tweets anyways, but like, it's avoidable. Like the Kyler Murray situation, if you had some university rep, you know, saying, you know, hey, there are some tweets from 2012 that I don't think would benefit you if someone were to find this out, so you should just totally erase it. And the fact that he didn't have a rep saying that to him is just kind of shocking to me, because especially in this day and age, it's 2018, like, you know, there have been countless athletes in the past like year or two who have, or not even just athletes, just, you know, yeah, just people in general, like they've been dethroned from any kind of job or like,
well, I'll bring up Kevin Hart. I mean, Kevin Hart
exactly.
Is right. That's the big
prime example.
That's one of the big stories, right? Other than Kyler Murray and his tweets resurfacing when he was 15, Kevin Hart and he had some homophobic tweets that resurfaced once it was announced that he was the guy, the comedian who was going to be the host of the Oscars. But I also have another take on this as well, Alec, because there's a part of me that's like, man, I am happy that a guy like Josh Allen got put on blast, because there's levels to this thing. Josh Allen's tweets were, well, excuse me. I'm sorry.
Josh Hader. Yep.
Hader. His tweets were blatantly racist.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this dude is tweeting KKK.
We discussed that yesterday. White power. You know what I mean? Just disgusting.
So there's levels to it. I'm gonna unpack this on tomorrow's Current Sports. Don't miss it. Until then, have a great Wednesday. Be easy, people.